The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
You know, I love this time of year. As we approach the Christmas season, do you ever notice that there's just something different in people's hearts and in people's attitudes? There's just a little something different as people are out shopping for presents, as they're, just the busyness of preparing for the meals that they're going to be having, the celebrations that they're going to be having. Have you noticed there's just something different in people's lives and people's hearts? Once you get past the busyness of it all, and once we understand that the entire world stops for a moment and recognizes that Jesus was sent, that Jesus was born, that this baby that was laid in a manger was just God's way of accomplishing his eternal purposes. That through Christ Jesus, through the foolishness of placing his seed in the virgin's womb, through the foolishness of having a child born in a hostile environment, that he was going to save the world. You know, it's really cool the way God works. I love the way God works. He works with small things. He works with small beginnings. One of the core principles of the Word of God is that he starts everything with a seed. I've been interested lately. I've been watching the documentary, one of them, I'm sure that's out there, on the Big Bang Theory. How many know what the Big Bang Theory is? Not the sitcom. Okay, I've never even seen that one. I don't know what that one is. But the Big Bang Theory. Now, this is my disclaimer. I don't buy into the Big Bang Theory. Okay? I believe in creation. I believe God created. I just believe God spoke it. He created. The world came into existence just as it is. But studying what the Big Bang Theory is about, I could almost buy into it. You know what the Big Bang Theory is? That we have an expanding universe. That all the stars, all the galaxies, everything that we know that we see in space that's declaring the glory of God is expanding. It's going. It's getting bigger and bigger. At one time, they thought they had this all figured out, and they thought they knew how many galaxies they were and then how many planets and all. And now, all of a sudden, they're saying there's hundreds of billions of galaxies. Hundreds of billions of galaxies. In fact, the Milky Way is just one of the galaxies, one of the medium-sized galaxies. Do you know in the Milky Way, if you were able to get into a car that could travel the speed of light, okay, a car that could go, I think it's 986 miles per second, something like that? How? 6,000 feet per second. Okay. Miles per second. There you go. Okay. Tripping. I should have had my facts and figures in before me. I just know it's really fast. You know, and I know if you had a car that could go as fast as light could go, it would take you somewhere, they're guessing, between 100,000, 120,000 years to travel from one end of our galaxy to the other. That's just the Milky Way. And there's billions of these things out there now. They've got the Hubble Space Telescope, and they're trying to find the edge of the universe. And it just keeps running away from them. Faster than technology can figure it out, it's just kind of running away from them. And it's just so fun for me to see this, because I love these brilliant minds. I mean, these are adults. You know, and it's like they want to know the origins. How you see, God has placed eternity in the heart of man. Every person that's sitting here, there is something inside of you that is crying out to know eternity, to know what this is about, to know why we're alive, to know why we're sucking air for this 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever God's given you. What's it about? So they're trying to find the edge of the universe so that they can figure out, see, they know kind of how fast this thing's expanding, they think. And it's expanding, so they figure, okay, if we get to the edge, we can backtrack and figure out when it started. And so they figure 13.7 billion years ago. Now, this is theory, right? It's taught like it's fact, but it's theory. So they've retracted all the way back to, but they don't really know what to retract back to. Except for, you get this, they figure it was a speck of pure energy. A speck of pure energy. And this speck of pure energy, now this is facts in their way of thinking. This speck of energy was 1 millionth of a millionth of a millionth, I think it's 4 millionths, of a centimeter big. And when this thing exploded, now they don't know what caused, they don't know where that speck of energy came from. If that, you know, it was rightly dubbed years ago, the God particle. I could almost believe the Big Bang Theory if that speck of energy was just a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a centimeter of the substance of God. You know, then now we can buy this stuff. But they don't know what it is. They call it the God particle. But they have an issue with it because they don't know what caused it to bang, to go Big Bang. Now, get this. Within, they had to create a new language for time. Because in this Big Bang, within, I forget even the terminology, but it's like millions of a millions of a millions of a second. Within, you know, a fraction of a second, this little particle had already banged into the size of the Earth. In less than a second, it had already banged into the size of the Milky Way. This is facts in their way of thinking. I don't know how they can go back 13.7 billion years ago and be so specific about all this. But they say that there was trillions of degrees. I mean, this thing got hot. And it was trillions of degrees in this Big Bang Theory. What's that? Oh, it really doesn't much matter when it comes to trillions. It was enough that, you know, the guy doing the documentary, he kind of starts off and it shows him drinking, a bottled water. This. He says, water. Has anybody seen this video? Water. It's ancient. He's holding a plastic bottle with water in it. It's ancient. I don't know. Maybe I just got a weird sense of humor. Yeah. But, you know, as ancient as time, everything, water is a product of the Big Bang. Then it zooms out and it goes into his whole theory about the Big Bang. I don't know much, but I don't really know how water can exist in trillions and trillions of degrees temperature, Fahrenheit or Celsius. You know, and really it's, I don't know, you know, there's this mystery. There's just this mystery about our beginnings. There are things that we try to grapple with in the natural that just will never make sense. God, does it make sense? Let me read once real quick. Here's just a familiar Christmas scripture that I just love. Every year, I love dwelling on this. This is probably one of my favorite Christmas scriptures. And it's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, some 700 years before Christ. If you read before that, you'll find out that the situation was that people were in great darkness. There was great darkness covering the land. Now, that was a spiritual darkness, but a spiritual darkness will always manifest in a darkness in this world. That people will act out of what it looks like in the spirit. Do you understand? See, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling with principalities, powers, that there is a spiritual force that's behind everything that we see, taste, touch, and feel. So for those of us that are a little bit older, I remember a time when I could just, you know, we'd go to Christmas and there was just something holy about it. I remember a time when life just kind of made sense, where there was really some common sense, where you just knew certain things that were off limits, certain things that weren't off, that were, you know, that just weren't right. You understood that even nature told you certain things about what identifies a marriage, what identifies a man, what identifies a woman, just what identifies how you treat one another. And it was just, you know, common sense. How many have found that common sense isn't so common anymore? You know? And we remember those things. And we can go back in time just a little bit. And we understand that God has put something in the heart of man. But what happens is when there's a spirit of darkness, when you give, when a nation, when a people, when a person gives themselves over to darkness, that you start acting out of that darkness. You start thinking like that darkness. You start treating others like that darkness is. You hear me? You know what I'm saying? But in the middle of the darkness, verse 6 of chapter 9 in Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice." Doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't it be cool to know a president that would rule with justice and judgment? Wouldn't it be cool if there were kings and queens and prime ministers all across the face of the earth that would rule in righteousness and in justice and in judgment? That the things that we know, the eternity that is written in the heart of every man, woman, and child would come to the front and center. And that would be the light, the leading, the guiding force of everything that we are. Wouldn't that be cool? Well, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to establish a government. That this baby that was born, this baby that was given to us in seed form, almost like, you know, the Big Bang, except it was a seed. It was a seed. The very seed, the very sperm of God that was planted into the womb of a virgin. I'm sorry if that's a little bit graphic, but that's what happened. It was the seed of God. Jesus wasn't just all of a sudden, whoop, he's a baby in the tummy. You guys are looking at me really weird, but really. Really, there was the seed of God that was planted into a virgin. And that seed met with the virgin's womb and the seed in the womb. And that seed came together and it became the beginning of a government. It became the beginning of a rulership. It became the beginning of a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It became the beginning of a government that was going to go largely misunderstood by the masses. It became a king. He became the king of a government that was going to be hated and ridiculed. Why? Because this king and this kingdom is all about light. It's all about bringing light to the dark places. It's all about bringing common back into the sense, if you will. It's all about the things that are in your heart, the things that are in eternity, the things that we know. You know, the scripture says the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Last week we showed a film, a documentary. I wasn't here, but I did watch it over the week. I found it on YouTube. It's called The Star of Bethlehem. If you ever get a chance, take a look at that. But it is amazing that this quote unquote, this Big Bang, when with everything just going at multiple times the speed of life and it's expanding, there was a moment in time where the heavens, through the constellations, declared the glory of God. If you watch that film, they'll talk about what was happening in the stars. I'm not a stargazer. Henry's an amateur stargazer, astronomer. I'm not. But I tell you, this sure turns my crank on it. Gets me excited about it because there was a constellation of the Virgin and the moon was at her feet at the time that Jesus was conceived. And it was prophesied in the Word of God. It was spoken about. And it talks about the blood moon that was going to be there at his death and other things that were taking place in the stars and the constellations, how they came together. They talk about the star Bethlehem, how that was really two planets that came together, and I forget the name of them. One of them was the king. Jupiter and Venus? Okay. And what was that? Henry should be telling this story. but it all declared the glory of God. It all declared that unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government is going to be upon his shoulders. That there is a force that is way beyond everything that we see, taste, touch, and feel. And this is the government that he was going to have a rule over. It was going to be the rule in the hearts and the minds of men, women, and children. I'll tell you what, I was the prisoner. I was the prisoner. I didn't go to prison. I spent some nights in jail in my days before Christ. I shouldn't be talking about that, but I did. And the only reason I wasn't in the orange jumpsuit is because I didn't get caught. I was a thief. I was an adulterer. I was a drunkard. I was a reviler. I was all of those things. I was the man before Christ. I was the man that should have been behind bars. But I'll tell you what, when I encountered this king in 1978, June 6th at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1978, I encountered this king and he got a hold of my heart. And light came into a very, very, very dark place. And light illuminated a very dark place. And from that time on, he has been establishing and increasing his government in my life. I'll tell you, it's been a process. I didn't become the two angels up there. Weren't they good? I didn't become one of them right away. In fact, I'm still working through things in life. But I'll tell you, this government, this child that was born was destined to increase his government in the hearts and in the minds of men, women, and children. And when that government is established in the hearts of men, women, and children, then things on this earth change. Do you know that every place that the gospel has been preached, there has been a societal change for the better? Things like slavery get abolished. Things like prostitution begins to wane. In the Welsh revival, do you know that, if you can, UK, everything's about the pubs and the pint, But in the Welsh revival, all the bars just closed down. Not because there was some kind of a law that came and said, thou shalt be. No, it was the hearts of men and women that all of a sudden they had a thirst for a different kind of wine. It was the wine of the Spirit. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The increase of his government and peace shall be upon your shoulders. Have you looked around our nation lately? How much peace do you see? How much peace do you see? How much peace do you see in the families? Do we even know what it's like to sit around a table as a family anymore and have a peaceful meal? There's threats of wars, rumors of wars. Or, the financial situation, in case you haven't noticed, America is not a rich nation anymore. We're just one of the most indebted nations. It's kind of like the guy that's driving a Rolls Royce and has a big mansion because it's all on borrowed money. Looks good. But at the very core, at the very center of it, there's poverty. There is no peace. I tell you, there is a place where we can live in our nation in perfect peace. Scripture says it, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. He who is truth, He who is this King who came to rule and reign in hearts. I want to read the way this kingdom works. How many have noticed it's an upside down, inside out kingdom? The things that make sense in this plane don't always make sense in the kingdom of God. In other words, to be great in that kingdom, you got to become the servant of all. to have life in that kingdom, you have to lose this life. There is a letting go of one kind of life so that you can gain real life. This life that is placed in the heartbeat of every man, woman, and child that has ever been born again, or ever been born. You see, man is created in the image of God. I mean, it says that in Genesis. Let us make man in our image. And male and female, he created them in his image. Part of the way that you're created in the image of God is that eternity is in your heart. Every person sitting here this morning, eternity is in your heart. Now, many people will go a lifetime and will never discover what that means, what that looks like, what this government, what this baby that everybody celebrates year by year by year really is all about. But there's a way into this kingdom. Luke chapter 18, verse 15. Then they also brought infants to Jesus that he might touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called to him and said, or called to them and said, "Let the children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Except you receive this kingdom as a little child, there is no way we can see it, understand it, perceive it, enter into it. What's he saying? And it's talking about a little child here. Now, how many know that little children aren't perfected? I mean, I've had six kids. And I still have six kids, my wife reminds me. And they're still not perfected. They're just as much of a mess as... No. We had children, and I was present at every birth. The last four, we had them at home. And I'll tell you what, it's messy. Yeah, it's just messy. It's a mess, and the baby comes out, and they aren't always that cute. I don't care what the moms say. You know, they have cone heads, and they, you know, I remember seeing my son Samuel, my firstborn, and the first thing I said, when the first thing I saw of him, I didn't see the thing that made him a boy. We didn't know at that time. Yeah. We didn't have all the stuff that made us know if we're going to have a boy or girl. So when Samuel came out, it was really a surprise, wasn't it? Well, kind of. We kind of knew it was going to be a boy, but we didn't do all the gymnastics to find out. So when he pops out, I think I saw the thing that made him a boy. But one of the first things I commented on was, look at the meat hooks on that boy. I was like, his hands were just in proportionate to the size of his body. And to Susie, he was the most beautiful thing she had ever seen. To me, he wasn't so cute, you know. And we've had a few of them since then that weren't so cute. And, you know, but there's something about this little child. They can't do anything. I mean, the first thing he does is he gets whacked on the butt. The doctor knew that I'd be doing that for the next few years. No. And the first thing he does is cry. And then he cries for months after that. I have a hard time relating to children until they can start to wrestle. You know, all my boys, my girls. I loved them. I coddled them. I held them. And, you know, I sang to them and all that stuff. But in my heart, it was like, when are you going to do something useful? You know, and kids, how many kids are selfish? Have you ever noticed that? Not just kids. I mean, some of us never quit being kids in this way. We're still selfish. But kids are selfish. It's like, I want, you know, change me, feed me, hold me, do something with me. And this is how Jesus is saying here that this is how you enter the kingdom of heaven. And what he's really saying is that you are as helpless to get into the kingdom of heaven as that baby is to feed himself, to change himself, to not be selfish, to be quiet, to cry. That this entrance into this kingdom to whom this child was born, where there's going to be an increase that will go on and on and on. You want to talk about an expanding universe? There is an expanding kingdom that started as a seed in a woman that is going to expand. And the scripture says it will never cease. There will be increase in that kingdom. There will be increase in that peace. There will never be an end to it. However, it is a spiritual kingdom. And the only way you and me as sinful people, the only way me that should have been locked up in the prison can come into that kingdom. I tell you what, I wish I'd have had the smarts to get into the kingdom, but I didn't. Somebody just told me something that sounded like a really good deal, that my sins could be forgiven and that Jesus loved me. I thought, wow, my head was saying, well, I've known this all my life. My heart was saying, no, there's something else going on here. My spirit man was resonating. The eternity that was in my heart was resonating with the words that were being spoken to me. And it was like I had heard them for the first time. I mean, I grew up in church. I sat in the pews and I laughed with the guy next door when he'd pass some gas, and we'd, you know, then you try not to laugh, you know, family stuff. No, maybe not your family. You know, this kingdom can only be entered into by faith. It can only be entered into as a little child. It can only be entered into by saying, I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. I cannot do anything to earn the righteousness of this king. There is nothing that I can do to look like him. There's nothing that I can do to be received, to be acknowledged by him. There is nothing that I can do to enter into this expanding kingdom, this ever-increasing kingdom of righteousness and peace. There is nothing. I can't say enough prayers. I can't get the words right enough. All I could do, May 6th, 1978, 2 o'clock in the morning, all I could do is just go, wow, this is right. This is just right. This makes sense. I've been looking for this. I started drinking and drugging when I was 13 years old. I stole my first car when I was 13 years old. My parents didn't bring me up to do that stuff. But that's where I ended up going. And I ended up with all sorts of messed up relationships with men and with women, and just crashing up my buddies' cars. And I was a mess. But there was something that was always tugging at me. In fact, I remember the first time I really heard it. I was sitting on a mountaintop, and we were sitting on a cliff. Our feet were dangling over the cliff. I used to love nature, and I still do. But we're sitting on this cliff, me and Rex, and we're smoking a joint together. And my feet are dangling, and we were pretty high. I mean, I'm thinking it was like a 300-foot cliff, 500-foot cliff. I don't know. It was big enough. It was tall enough cliff that the eagle started flying down there, caught the thermals. Next thing we knew, he's flying up here. I mean, you know, it was that kind of a cliff, and it overlooked this vast valley, as in Oregon. Looking across and miles across, there was another sheer cliff, just like the one we were sitting on. And I remember sitting there. I didn't think about God. I was thinking about the joint we were smoking. You know, Susie and I were living together at the time. I was a mess. But I remember, as clear as we're sitting here today, taking the toke passing it to my buddy and going, as I'm exhaling, I'm going, wow, there has got to be a God. I went on and partied for the next 2 years. But on that day, May 6th, 1978, when I'm going, this must be right, I thought about that time. Oh, God does love me. God does know that there's eternity in my heart. That this God is really real. That this God, he wants to encounter me. He wants to love me. I just came to an understanding. I tell you, the things in the kingdom can't always be achieved by study. I love to study. And I love to get into the Word of God. And I love to find out the things that, you know, we think we know what it means. But there's way deeper meaning. I love digging into that stuff. And I love making it real to my heart. I love making it real to this congregation. But there are some things that just don't come that way. Some things just come by revelation, where a light comes on. That this Christmas season, could there be people all around? People in this congregation, people in this city, people in this region, could this be the season where all of a sudden the light comes on? That this king who was born 2,000 years ago had a mission. He wasn't confused about his mission. The angels, they are confused about their mission. Jesus was not confused about his mission. Jesus knew he was entering into a hostile territory where there was great darkness, where there was great confusion, where there was murder and rape and hatred, oppression like you wouldn't believe. Jesus' mission, he knew his mission was not necessarily to deliver them from the Roman oppression, but to deliver their hearts from every kind of oppression. Do you know that a heart that has been touched and has entered into this kingdom, there is no oppression in this life that can snuff it out. Sometime if you get a chance, if you're tired, or if you're not tired and you're trying to sleep, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It'll undo you. How people, while they were being murdered, while they were being burned at the stake, while they were being abused, while they're nanoseconds away from death, are worshiping Jesus, worshiping this King, giving glory to God. I tell you, this kingdom is more real than the kingdom that we see, taste, touch, and feel. That there is a spiritual kingdom that is eternal in nature. And it's this kingdom that we have been invited by the God of all creation. See, the reason I don't believe in Big Bang is because God says, the Word says, it just doesn't work up with all the timing, okay? But I tell you what, I could believe the concept. I could believe the concept that the Big Bang, that particle that they're looking for, that they're never going to find unless they come to it by faith, was just a piece, just a minuscule, fractional piece of the person of the God of all eternity, the one who spoke and all the planets, all the stars, everything became real. See, this didn't happen by chance. You really, really have to have faith to believe in Big Bang. You really have to have faith to believe in evolution. That all this just happened. I tell you, it's so much easier just to believe that God created. Just so much easier to believe that there's order in the space because God created with order. One of the things that happened within that first fraction of the second of Big Bang, this is according to the big guns. One of the things that happened was there was a war that went on, because out of energy came matter. But along with matter came antimatter. And antimatter and matter are opposite poles, but they attract each other. So there was a war that went on between matter and antimatter. And the guy in the video says, luckily, for every billion particles of antimatter, there was a billion and one particles of matter. So luckily, out of that, out of those surviving bits of matter is what you see. All the heavens, everything, all the galaxies, the billions of them that we're now seeing with Hubble telescope, everything is just kind of happened by accident, and it just kind of, we're just lucky. We're lucky that there was more matter than there was antimatter. Anybody got faith for that? I tell you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but would enter into this eternal life, this expanding kingdom, this kingdom that will never have any end, this kingdom where there is increasing lordship. There's this kingdom, I tell you, when we trade it for a religious mindset, when we trade it for a series of prayers, when we trade it from anything from being a living relationship, then that authority of his kingdom ceases in our own hearts. Now, I'm not saying that you lose salvation, but I am saying that you as a person will cease to increase in the government of his kingdom in your life. And you'll cease to increase in the peace, in the face of everything that you're seeing in our nation right now. And those of us that grew up in the 50s, man, you know, we long for the things that are past, but they're gone. And the place that has to be ruled is in your heart. I don't know what's going to happen to the rulership out there. I really don't know. By the way, I have great hope for our nation. I have great hope because I know that God still has a plan for the United States of America. I know that God still has a plan for righteousness to be demonstrated in this nation. I know that God didn't bring about this great nation so that we could just end up in a heap of confusion, if you will. So I have great hope. I'm not speaking hopelessness here. But I am saying that unless you become as a little child, unless we become as a little child, we'll never see the increase of his government and peace in our own hearts. Amen? Let's stand together. Just put your hearts in a place of being like a little child this morning. There may be some here who have never, ever invited this King into your life in a very, very personal and real way, where you knew that you knew that you knew that something transpired in your inner man, where something connected with the eternity that was written in your heart. There's some here that have never had that experience. Can I just encourage you to become like a little child, to become like a baby, to become like an infant? There is nothing you can do except to say yes by the grace of God to this King. There's others in this room who remember the good old days. You remember even the preaching of the word this morning through the play, through my preaching. You remember a day when your heart was alive with the reality of this King, this kingdom. But circumstances, disappointments of life, maybe religion, maybe heartbreak, have made you question the validity of this king. Really doesn't matter. You come back into that place of faith in the same way, just believing on him. If there's anybody here who would like to make that decision, that recommitment, we're going to have some prayer teams up here immediately following the service. I just don't believe in embarrassing people, having people raise. That's okay for some places, not for here. We provide just a safe environment that the things that go on between a man and their God can be very, very, very personal. And we honor that. We respect that. I have more confidence in God being able to work in a heart the way he did in mine than man's slick invitations. I just have more confidence in that, in God. But we will have some teams up here if you need somebody to pray with you, if you need some further instruction on the kingdom, this kingdom that will continue to expand throughout all eternity. Come on up. If you need prayer, we have seen many healings in this place. People set free from physical issues. The teams will be glad to pray with you. We invite you. We invite you to come on and have some cookies and coffee and just allow the love of the body here in this place just to love you. Love one another. That's what this kingdom's about. That's what this king was all about. Father, we thank you that you, in your wisdom, confounded the wisdom of man by doing something that seems so foolish. And yet that seed planted has brought multiple millions of people into this kingdom. So we thank you for your wisdom, God. We honor it. In Jesus' name, amen.